Right. I know Laura's trying to get in, and I also know that Cassie's on vacation, Destiny will be joining us a little late. So, but we are at quorum, so we can go ahead and start. Welcome to everyone. I'm glad you're here. And let me put my thing up. So I guess the first thing I want to do is ask if there's any additions to the agenda. Have a pretty full one today. All right, I'll move forward then. The minutes. I looked them over, and I all had a moment to look them over. Any changes, comments related to the minutes that you might have? All right, a motion.
I move we accept the minutes as written.
I'll second that.
Great. All those in favor, raise your hand. Looks like it passes. Thank you. Right, moving forward. We are to the public forum. So if anyone in the public would like to speak other than Shane Abrams' group, we welcome you to do that right now.
Yeah, and perhaps you could just ask them to use the raise hand feature. Andy, did you want to speak today? Peter, did you? Do either one of you want to let me know if you wanted to talk? You're actually both able to speak if you wanted to right now. It looks like Anna, Bride, Dan, and Shane are all here with the high school. All right, I'm going to assume that Andy and Peter are just here to watch today then. And we can move on, I think.
All right. We welcome everyone in the public. We're on to liaison reports, and I'm really happy to introduce Councillor Seffinger to our group and our commission. Thank you so much for being our liaison to the council, and we're so happy to have you. And I turn over the floor if you'd like to talk a little bit about, maybe give us a little bit about yourself and any report you have.
Well, thank you very much. I really look forward to working with public arts. I've had an interest in art for all my life, really. I'm a glass artist and a member of the Gallery Association. So I am really concerned about the state of art in Ashland in general. I'd love to see, I was on the board of the Art Center. And really sad to see that close. I want to do whatever I can to encourage art in Ashland and support it. That's most of the reason that I'm here. I also love public art, and I suppose my perspective on things might be wider. I like a lot of types of art. If you have any questions, let me know. The other thing I'm working on right now that I might need some help with is we're doing a thank you mural on the container in the Ashland Food Bank. It won't be seen by the public so much, but we are going to look for three artists to put forward some ideas for it, and then we'll have an artist. We're looking for a muralist to do the actual work, and it will be commissioned, so there will be some remuneration for this project. So thanks.
Great. Do you have any city business you wish to report or?
Sure. The city business I would like to report would be that we're working on a survey. And you probably have already heard about this. We're trying to find out by providing some different kinds of bundles of possibilities what we can do with regard to our shortfall in the budget. We're looking at probably at least $1 million, and we're looking at what combination of revenue versus cuts we would need to make, and are trying to find out from the public what they most value so that we can if there are cuts needed, make it in accordance with what the citizens in Ashland want.
Great, thank you. Appreciate it. Welcome.
Thank you.
Aaron, I know you're going to have lots of things to say. Do you have anything you'd like to start off with?
Yeah, just kind of from the more community development perspective generally. Some of you have already noticed that there's a face here that you don't recognize. This is Johanna Tuttle. She is a new associate planner on our staff here. So I don't know if I would have mentioned this when it happened. Maria, who was our planning manager, retired. And so there's been a little juggling up front. And so I'll be taking on slightly more senior planning actions. And as Johanna comes on board, she'll be handling a lot more the type one actions and that sort of thing. So she's been with us for 2 weeks now. Johanna, do you have anything you want to say to the Public Art Commission?
Just thanks for letting me sit in and listen to this meeting.
Great. Welcome.
And then the only other thing I would say is I am back in the office. There seems to be a general trend, at least in our department, for that. Starting next week, the city buildings, all of them are reopening to limited hours. So this is the first time in 2 years that the city buildings will be open. For our office, and I believe City Hall is going to have the same hours, is we'll be open to the public on Tuesday through Thursday, 9 to 1. And then by appointment only in the afternoons on those same days. And so that's what we're starting with. The city council will need to be addressing whether they're going to extend the emergency order, which I believe expires at their first meeting in April. If they don't, they're going to have to go back in person. As far as whether we're going to go back in person, I know that the general understanding that I have from the head of community development is that we're following what council is doing. And Steph, I don't know if you have any additional information on that that you might want to share.
Basically, I believe council is going to go back to the council chambers. They're working on a system, however, where they could combine a Zoom and live meetings. So that's in the works as well. But if there's an uptake, which there is some fear of, in cases, then that could change again.
And so everything else that I would have to report on, Jennifer, I would touch on at the appropriate time in the agenda.
Sounds good. Thank you. It looks like I don't see Jim Lewis, correct? He's not in the... other business, Ken England wrote this lovely tribute to our Councillor Jensen, who left. It's a resolution of appreciation. The Public Arts Commission expresses our great appreciation for the dedication and support of Councillor Stephen Jensen, for his informative and thoughtful counsel and advice as the liaison to the City Council. We especially appreciate his continuing support for the importance of public art for the City of Ashland. And I have definitely miss him and wish him well. But I also, at the same time, very much welcome you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Any other comments related to that? Okay, a few other things under other business that I'd like to mention. Yes, Aaron?
I would just note, we're going to formally send this to council, is that correct?
I think so. Are we allowed?
Absolutely, yeah. I would just ask that we have a quick motion and a vote on it. And so that I can say by unanimous vote, this was forwarded to the council.
So moved.
Stanley seconds that. Great. All four, please write your hand so I can see it. Thank you. Great. You can move it forward. I know we have some people in the gallery. This will take just a minute, I think, to explain before we move into the high school presentation. We all know that the Rio Amistad mural was slightly damaged over some time. And thankfully, I was able to talk to Sue Springer, the original artist, and she came last weekend and worked on it. And Ken and Aaron both met with her. Thank you so much to both of you for doing that. And from what I'm understanding, she's found a few more places she wants to fix. She's going to be coming back perhaps closer to summer to do those repairs. I also understand that she has requested that the mosaic be cleaned. So that's all I know, and I wanted to open that up to you, Aaron, just to, if there's anything more you need to report.
No, that was a great summary. I actually chanced upon her when I was out for a walk, because as you know, it's right behind the building, and so I introduced myself. As it was a great opportunity, she was repairing the one section that was obviously damaged. And what she pointed out to me is, and I wouldn't have noticed if she hadn't have shown me specifically the damage she was talking about. On some of the tiles, you can see where there's chips in the, I don't know what the right word for it on tile is. But she said in some cases, she could tell that it was damage that was inflicted from perhaps a skateboard or something else. But in other places, she said that she's seen this in the past where, you know, there was some flaw in the coating and a little bit of moisture gets under there and it can cause it to lift up. And so really what she was mentioning is that a lot of it was expected wear and tear from a piece that's been exposed to the elements for 17 years. But it seems like a great opportunity to get a new lease on life. And I don't think that's going to be problematic. She's going to have to jump through a few hoops in terms of getting us an estimate, because Public Works funds repairs to public art. And so what I asked her to do was, as we move this project along, to get me an estimate of what she thinks it will be. And then I'll have to work with getting her in touch with Public Works so that we can take care of that. And that's about all I had to add.
Great. Any questions or comments? Ken?
Just quickly, excuse me, I found some of the chips and charts and met with her Monday morning and passed those on. It was same thing that Aaron said.
Great, thank you. Anything else? All right, welcome, Laura. Thank you.
Yeah, so sorry.
You all had a hard time, so you're not the only one.
Man.
Well, welcome here.
Frustrating. Thanks.
Let's see. I think we're, unless anyone else has any other comments, we're ready to move on. This is a great presentation by the high school students and faculty from Ashland related to a land acknowledgement project called Outlifter Canoe Installation. So I will turn it over to Aaron to bring them forward. And then if they wish to introduce themselves and give their presentation, we're excited to hear it.
Shane, is Jazalyn Swick one of yours as well?
JC is going to be watching, but not presenting.
And that is the right person? Okay.
Perfect. That's correct, yeah.
And does Anna need to come in?
Yes, we need Anna, Bree, and Dan to be panelists.
Okay, I think we're all set here.
Okay, I'm just going to get my screen share started up here.
And that may not be set yet. Give me 1 minute. Yeah, you should be able to share now.
Okay, give me 1 quick second. Okay, Aaron, I may actually need to pop out and rejoin. Give me 1 quick second. Can you see this? Yeah, great. All right. Good morning. Thank you, commissioners, for having us today. We're really excited to share a vision with you, and we're grateful for your time on the agenda. Thank you as well, and welcome to those members of the community who have joined us in support today. Either on the Zoom in the webinar or in spirit or by providing some of the written statements that you're going to hear later in the presentation. My name is Shane Abrams. I use the pronouns that he, him, his, and I am a high school teacher over here at Ashland High School. I'm grateful to have had the chance to work with public arts before in my role as advisor to the Truth to Power Club when we installed the Aiden Ellison Memorial mural, the BIPOC celebration mural down on South Mountain Avenue. That was a really amazing experience with a lot of student inspiration. So I'm grateful to be working with you all again today. I am here, of course, in my role now as site coordinator for equity, diversity, and inclusion. and I am joined by three of my teammates, Dan Wapapa, who you'll hear from momentarily, Bree Trevino, who is a counselor at Ashland High School, as well as the co-advisor to the Native American Student Union, and Anna Gutrich, who is a senior and a longtime member of the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Committee. Our presentation today is going to be in three parts. First, I'll hand it over to Dan in just a moment to talk a little bit about the background of the Canoe Otter Lifter and the installation, the motivation behind it. Then I'll pass it off to Anna and Bree, who will share some statements of support from our community to show how important this project is to us. And then I'll go through some of the nitty-gritty, granular logistics of how we plan to get this done and exactly what it's going to look like. As you remember from our presentation in January, we intend to install a land and people recognition at Ashland High School using a donated canoe, this really beautiful Northwest-style Indigenous canoe. At the end of our presentation today, we are going to ask for your approval to bring this before City Council, and I'll ask for your help, Councillor Seffinger, in getting it on the soonest possible agenda for City Council so we can continue moving the process forward. We think that if we continue on this projected timeline, we can have the project fully installed by September of this year, just in time for the new school year. Okay, I'm going to throw things over to Dan here, who's going to talk a little bit about the background of the canoe and the motivations behind this project. I have a few pictures on the screen. Dan, you can feel free to speak to those or just let folks take them in.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Good morning, relatives. So this canoe was given to me by a Gray Eagle, a longtime family friend, and his friend, Charlie Otterlifter, and George Fence, a previous leader, Native American leader around here, who was passed on, carved this canoe. And it's been taken for a number of rides. I took it around for a ride on Lake Selmac a number of years back. And then also with Grandma Aggie, and let you know who Grandma Aggie is, she was the a matriarch for this valley. She was the woman on the standing at the head of the canoe right there. That's Grandma. And so she is the oldest, was the oldest living tribal member of the Siletz tribe living down here in their original territories. Of course, they've been marched out of here. Mid-1800s on their own Trail of Tears. So this is all stolen land that we're speaking from. And this canoe is a remembrance, a reminder that of a previous way of living on this earth, because we are right now in a crossroads of Native prophecy. And the prophecies are coming faster and truer. And we're approaching a purification. If we don't do something about it, this will be purified. And that is a bad thing. So this canoe serves as a reminder of a natural way home. In our prophecies, we tell of a road that forks. One is well-worn and it's scorched. And the other is green. It has grass growing on it and corn and geese on it. And that is not a well-worn path. But it's a path that used to be walked here on Turtle Island, which you call United States. And so this is canoe. Can act as a reminder of a conveyance back to a more sustainable, regenerative way of living and to remind of the people here. And as we all know, a land back acknowledgement is nothing without, a land acknowledgement is nothing without land back, because along with the theft of lands, comes perpetrator-induced traumatic stress, which most Americans are suffering under, which means they benefit from rape, slavery, torture, land theft, genocide, mass hangings, all of these things, and refuse to deal with that history. And so that's what this canoe is. It's a canoe is a cracking of the egg and dealing with that history. So, and within that history, there's healing there. So this land back movement is for healing. Because during this perpetrator-induced traumatic stress, which European Americans benefit from, they are suffering. And the idea behind perpetrator-induced traumatic stress is that if you strike me, you're doing more damage to yourself than you're doing to me. And so this canoe is a medicine. This canoe is a family member. Right on the bottom of the canoe, there's a lump right on the bottom there. That's the heart of the canoe. Somebody carved this and made it their family. These are the relatives. These canoes are the relatives of those who make the canoes. And without the heart in the canoe, it is not a canoe. So we want to have this as a land people recognition, as a good start towards a land back movement. So we want to have this surrounded by native plants, a pollinator garden, a wattle fence, and to help to promote the life of our elder relatives, what you call plants and animals. So we want to be able to have this there and to not be invisible anymore. We're just coming out of 400 years of silence, and this is a way to help us to be heard again. So I want to thank you for the commissioners for allowing us to make this presentation and to convey the importance of what this canoe represents. So thank you.
Thank you, Dan. I'm always grateful for your insight on this project. I have a couple of other photos that I'll cycle through here. Dan, is this one Gray Eagle, this person on the left?
That's George Fence on the left.
That's George Fence. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Other folks might recognize Martha Stewart on the right with the canoe in the background. And of course, this one I find very moving, Agnes in the middle here.
Okay. That's Gray Eagle in the back.
Oh, in the back. Excellent. Is that Charlie Otterlifter in the front?
No, that's Grandma's son, Tony.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, so just to sort of consolidate a few things and build on what Dan shared with us, I have four reasons why we believe we need this canoe, this installation right away. As Dan mentioned, this is a moment of crisis in terms of the climate, and it's important for us to take action and get back in touch with Mother Earth. This is also a gathering point to educate students on a variety of topics. A quick tangent is that I, 2 weeks ago, took my students out to the mural that you all approved to teach them about Lawson Fusao Inada, the Japanese American poet who taught at SOU, and it brought this historical moment to life for them. This canoe is also a highly visible iteration of truth-telling. As Dan mentioned, we're in a social moment where it's really important to confront the traumas of our history, and this is an effort to pursue healing. And then finally, it's a commitment to our Native students and all of their families. Okay, now I'll turn things over to Anna Gutrich and Bree, who will be Bree Trevino, who will be sharing out some statements of support from our community. Anna, I believe the way the alternation goes is that you're going to go first. So if you would, you can say your own piece, introduce yourself, and take over when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Anna. I use the pronouns that she, her, hers. I have been involved with this project since my sophomore year, and I am now graduating in 3 months. So it's really cool to see this kind of take flight, especially in the past year, and kind of see it gain traction, because it's been something, it was the reason I joined the EDI committee. And so it meant a lot to me to get to actually be here and like presenting it in this form after so long is super amazing. And I'm super, super grateful. So I have that perspective of someone who's like seen it from when we were just talking about what we were going to do to use it as a land acknowledgement. I also have the perspective of being a student at the school that has, who was raised by a Native mom. And so kind of like how Shane mentioned, it's a promise to Native students and Native family members. And so getting to go into a school where I know that they will recognize history, and like history that my mother is a part of and history that my family members is a part of, is a super big signal, and means a lot to a lot of people, even if they're not a student. So yeah, thank you for having me and letting me speak.
Thank you, Anna. And will you also read this statement from Grandma Aggie's daughter?
Absolutely. So it reads, "All my relations, hello. I would like to thank each and everyone who has been a part of this amazing process. Thank you. Our canoes were and still are our lifelines that connect us all as the Pacific Northwest tribes. We have, as river people, always depended on the water highways of the West Coast. We, as five generations, extend and honor the city's Arts Commission and Ashton High School for accepting the canoe and preserving our cultural ways. Thank you, one and all," as said by Nadine Martin, daughter of Agnes Baker Pilgrim.
Thank you. And Bree, will you introduce yourself and read some excerpts from JC's statement?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me today. I am Bree Trevino, and I'm a school counselor up at the high school. And I also, as Shane mentioned earlier, am the co-advisor for our NASU here on campus. I am a Native woman, and I am just honored to really be a part of this beautiful healing project and movement. I will read some statements of support right now. I moved to the Ashland area from a desolate and rural town in Montana. One of the reasons for our family to leave home was the progressive nature of Ashland. From the pollinator gardens, streetlights, and the recycling programs, we knew we would be easier to be better citizens. We wouldn't have to drive for hours to a recycling center that was only open one day a week for 2 hours. Now, having lived here for a few years, I know that Ashland has the same drive and determination that I saw online sitting on a farm in Montana now almost 6 years ago. This includes learning about the history of the Native people, supporting their sovereignty, and supporting their unique, diverse, and rich cultures. The proposed art project will center on people, place, and support the Native people to feel truly seen. The additional plants will also serve as traditional medicines to those that are caretakers and tenders of the land. Lastly, the state passed Senate Bill 13, Shared History, Tribal History, and the implementation is taking effect this year. Around our nation, we are seeing art installations that bring meaning to the spoken words of an acknowledgement. They honor and address the disparaging health, social, and economic effects on the Native people. Please keep moving forward, Ashland, as said by JC Swick. And she works with SOESD, Indian Education Volunteer, as the volunteer coordinator.
Anna, will you read this highlighted statement from Victor Chang?
Yes, sorry. Victor says, I am writing as a resident, parent, educator, person of color, social justice advocate, and Ashland School Board member. To be clear, I am not speaking for the board, but believe this is worth mentioning. I believe the Ashland School District has been given a rare opportunity and valuable gift in the form of the Indigenous Canoe to demonstrate the district's and City of Ashland's values regarding teaching and living equity, diversity, and inclusion. Specifically, the placement of this canoe on ASD property but artfully and intentionally displayed as a living monument of recognition of culture and land that is visible to the people that have lived in this region from time immemorial. It's not often such a beautiful and powerful artifact that can be displayed as a cultural icon and educational tool to remind us all that these lands do not belong to us and that Indigenous people once lived here in harmony with the land and one another. I urge you to consider the careful preparation of the plan before you and the opportunity to have the Ashland High School continue to be a strong partner in addressing the social and cultural issues that are imperative to this region and this time in history, as said by Victor Chang.
All right, so this is by Jill Franco, ASD Board Director, to the Public Arts Commission. This land and people recognition project doesn't right our past wrongs, but honors our Indigenous community in a way that we hope can lead to reconciliation, education, and growth for our community as a whole. Jamie Hirsch, Ashland High School History Department Chair. This project is a tangible example to students that history is alive all around us.
Benjamin Bell, our principal, said that we are proud to have this canoe displayed on our campus as a symbol to honor those that called this land home before us. Our interim assistant principal, Francisco Atanes, said it is long due that we recognize and honor those who lived here before us. Their land, their culture is being honored by displaying this canoe for public education on our campus. And Sylvie Turner, who is also an HS senior and a member of our EDI committee, said that this canoe encourages us as students to look with a more critical eye and begin to ask questions about whose perspective we view history through.
Excellent. Thank you so much to all of those community members who submitted statements of support for this project. I've heard that the commission, it doesn't need a whole lot of convincing that, that y'all are really excited to be a part of this, but I wanted to give you a sense. We wanted to give a sense of how community oriented this is and the different stakeholders who are in support of this project. Okay, now we get down to details, the more specifics about how this is going to look and how we plan to get there. All right, so we'll start with location. Many of you will recognize this. If you take a look at Siskiyou Boulevard down in the bottom left, you may also recognize the quad of Ashland High School towards the center. The red star indicates the location of this installation. It currently looks like this. You can see there's a concrete retaining wall that gives this a little bit of natural elevation. It's also an area that's flat and easily landscaped. It's one that's visible from campus and from the public so that both community members and students can interact with it without any security issues. So we're pretty excited about this location. And I'll show you this amazing rendering that gives me so much joy. Big thanks to Stephen Essig from the high school who whipped this together for us. As you approach this installation, the first thing the viewer is going to catch is that bright red of the canoe, that really eye-catching paint in Otter Lifter brings us into the installation. From there, the eye goes downwards to this native garden that Dan already previewed. I'll tell you more about each of those plants in a moment. Surrounding that garden is a bed of river rocks, and then surrounding those river rocks are interpretive signs, four of them, one at each of the four directions. I'll go into detail with each of those elements a little bit more, but we have this file so you can see it with individual pieces. So I'll show you a couple of these. This is how we will install the canoe. We consulted with a licensed, bonded, and insured contractor who recommended that we do some poured cement steel posts in order to affix the canoe securely without doing any visible damage. Surrounding that, we have the landscaping area, and surrounding that, the river rock. Here's what it's going to look like with that interpretive sign sort of grayed out, so you can see the plants a little bit better. And here is in the bottom right corner, you get a bit of an overhead view to get a sense of those concentric ovals and kind of teardrop shape. Okay. So let me break this down a little bit for you. I mentioned that there will be a native plant garden, river rocks, and four interpretive signs. One of the goals of this native garden is not just to be an educational tool, but also to be aesthetic. So we are going to let it grow and landscape it so it resembles a flowing river underneath the canoe. Let me give you some details on the sign. I'm hoping that Aaron shared the Google Slides link with the commissioners. Commissioners, if you want to, you can open that presentation and click this slide to see the full preview, but I've got one of the screen shares or the samples here on the screen for you. We're at a really good place with this text. We've gotten good input from a lot of stakeholders and feel that we're pretty close to exactly how it's going to look. We plan to use our district resources to translate the textual element into Spanish. Some of that text will be printed, and because of space, some of it will probably be available via QR code. We are going to translate some components of this text into Tequelma. We're in contact with the Cow Creek Umpqua Nation about this project right now. It's not as easy as just like plopping it into Google Translate, and it's a very time-consuming process that we want to honor and respect. So for this first iteration, we'll be happy to get just part of the sign in that language. And then finally, all of these texts will be recorded for folks who have visual impairment or people who just prefer to listen, audio processing, right? This is a place of education for where students can come and learn. Some details about the plant garden. We are collaborating with local gardeners and permaculturalists to source materials and to use their wisdom. We had four conditions that we used to select the plants that are going to be used. One of them is, of course, that they need to be drought resistant or drought tolerant if they're going to survive in this climate. Then we wanted to prioritize plants that have some significance in indigenous culture. Camas, for instance, is top of the list. We wanted to select plants that will simulate water. So these ones have like beautiful blue and purple flowers and bloom at various times of the year. And then finally, we wanted to make sure that we had plants that are generally indigenous to this region, plants that are native to Southern Oregon. Okay. Eventually, this garden is going to be self-sustaining. Over the first year, it is going to require watering and attention, which will be provided by student groups and members of the EDI committee. Okay. I know one of the really important questions that folks would want to know is how we've been involving other voices in this project. So I've got some different parties, stakeholders up here on the screen that we've been working with. Specifically, I've had some really good conversations recently with representatives from Grand Ronde and Siletz. And we are in touch with Cow Creek Umpqua regarding the Takelma translation. One thing I'm really excited about is that we have involved the AHS staff and student community to prepare and provide gifts for each of these Native nations to supplement the land recognition that will be here, something that's unique to Ashland and kind of a nice collection representative of the diversity that we have here. I've been in big talks with administration from both levels, as well as the school board and our bond liaison. You all probably know that there's some important construction projects happening throughout the district, and we want to make sure this doesn't interfere there. We've been collaborating with the Native American student unions from the high school and the middle school, as well as SOESD's Indian Education Program. And we've used text and ideas from SOU Native Studies and SOESD Native Education. Finally, just through Dan Wapapa's connections and various other connections, we've been trying to gather the wisdom of leaders of the Native community around here. Okay, and I know the other really important question you're going to want to ask is about vandalism. It is really important to our group that this is an outdoor display. We went through a lot of iterations of this, trying to think about different locations, but we settled on outdoors. So we've brainstormed a lot of different methods that we plan to implement to make sure that this installation is safe and secure, not a liability, and also honors the canoe, doesn't put an unnecessary risk. So the first thing is you saw in the rendering that the angle of the canoe is about 30 degrees with a slight yaw, which will discourage people from climbing on it. We've chosen a highly visible location because people are less likely to interact with it in an unsavory way if they think they're visible. In the design, we have also created these boundaries using the plants, the rocks, and the interpretive signs to create sort of a visual separation. We plan to have some additional signage indicating, please don't climb on the canoe, et cetera. We have an anti-graffiti and anti-UV coating from the power mural that we plan to use to protect the canoe. We plan to purchase a solar floodlight so that it can be well lit without making a negative environmental impact. We plan to have surveillance cameras and signage indicating that there are surveillance cameras. And maybe one of my favorites is the student idea that we have a tag this instead board, sort of calling out the fact that people vandalize things and here's a more productive place to put it. Dan also mentioned that down the line, we're looking to develop some wattle fencing. It's important that we don't create like a zoo or a museum effect with this installation. So we went around with this a little while and we found that the wattle fencing would be a really beautiful way to weave Native knowledge and to educate our students. It's a project where you weave willow trees together to create a fence. That'll be not right away, but in coming years. Okay, here's the budget for the nitty gritty. You see, I break this down into three sections. The installation of the canoe will cost us in the neighborhood of $1,350. The garden itself, both of these things have a lot of donated labor and resources. I love my community for this. The garden, we're looking at about $1,000, and for protective measures so far, I've budgeted about $725, which leaves us to a total of $3,100 total to execute the project. We have a small amount of money left in the Native American Student Union budget from a Rotary grant that includes the garden project that will apply to cover some of the starts. However, I have been guaranteed discretionary funding from either the AHS and or the ASD budgets in the next academic year. In worst case scenario, we have received some really generous private donations to the EDI committee in the past, and that would be an option for us too. Okay, this is the timeline we're working on, but it's really busy, so I'll just give you a couple of highlights. Here we are in March, seeking your approval, continuing to consult with stakeholders, and possibly, hopefully, beginning the landscaping process of enriching the soil for the garden. Over the next 3 months, we'll seek city approval, continue consulting with stakeholders, and acquire or produce each of the elements for the display. In June and July, we plan to install the components one at a time, finishing with the canoe. In that time, we're really excited to have a community day where people can visit, get their hands dirty, and help with the garden. In August 2022, we hope to have a ceremony opening the installation, and in September, when the new school year begins, we can have a school-wide recognition. Okay, I'll come back to the slide of the installation itself. I'll say a big thank you to the commissioners and everybody watching for sitting with us through our presentation. And we're excited to hear your feedback, answer your questions, and expand a little bit so we can seek your approval on the project. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was a wonderful presentation. I really appreciate all of your effort and the love that you all have for this. Commissioners, any questions or comments that you might have? And I guess we could keep this on just in case we need to see some slides. Any questions from commissioners?
Yes,
Stanley.
Beautiful presentation, you guys. It's just a very exciting project. The one thing, and I'm looking at this slide right now, and I think you should consider moving that sign that basically blocks the beautiful lines of that canoe. I think you mentioned that may have been part of your strategy to create a barrier, but I think from the street, it would be great to be able to see that beautiful line without it being interrupted by that interpretive sign. Just my two cents.
Or it could be lowered so that it's not in line. So consider that.
Also, these will go directly to the cardinal points, so it won't be shown exactly as is.
Okay.
We're dealing with this on another level. If you do have the sign low enough or lower to the ground, just make sure it's readable by people who are standing. And other questions or thoughts? Yes, Ken.
It's the most fantastic complete presentation, which is educational in and of itself. I want to thank the entire group and all of the community partners. It's just fantastic. I'm overwhelmed.
I can't see you all, but I just want to make sure I'm giving voice to anyone else who has a comment. Stephanie.
Yeah, I just wonder if Loma Kotze's youth program knows about what's happening here. It's a program that, I don't know if you know about it. It's it works a lot with youth and stewardship, and it incorporates a lot of respect to Native cultures. And one summer they even worked in building a dugout with with a community member that was associated, I think, with Grandma Aggie. So anyway, it's they might want to help sponsor this or acknowledge it in some way. So that might be something that you want to contact. I think October 10th is National Indigenous Peoples Day. So I don't know if you want to incorporate any kind of acknowledgement then or not. And I think it's a wonderful program. I'm really excited that you're doing this.
Thank you so much for those suggestions.
Thank you. Any other comments? And I think I will open it up to the commissioners. Is there some moving forward? Is there a goal here today that you would like to achieve?
Are you asking me or the commissioners?
No, commissioners. Okay. I'm asking if there's a motion. An interest for a motion today?
I move we approve this fantastic project.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, I can't see you. Would you mind taking the screen? Thank you. All those in favor, if you could raise your hand so I can see you in the squares. Great, motion passes. Thank you so much. That was a terrific presentation. I'm so excited to see it come to fruition. And it sounds like your next step is the City Council.
Thank you all so much. We're all so grateful and excited. Aaron, do you want to help us with the next step?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment real quick that at this stage, I can't tell you when we're going to get on council agenda. It will be something that I will take up with the Director of Community Development, and we'll get back to you. Steph, if you have an opportunity to put the bug in city manager's ear, that might help as well.
Aaron, Ken.
Is it possible for us to get some of the text that was just displayed?
Yeah, so the packet that's online, when it was originally posted, it accidentally didn't have all of their materials. We fixed that yesterday. So the current publicly available packet has not only the slides, but it also has, I believe, the written text of the presentation.
And where is that?
That's I can email you the link, but it's online with the city packet materials.
Okay, great.
Look for the agenda under the PAC website. Okay, thank you so much for all being here. So excited. Congratulations. And of course, you can always work with us if you have questions or comments. We wish you well.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day, all.
You too.
Thank you.
Aaron, I just want to let you know that Destiny is trying to get in. And so maybe... And you're quiet right now. We can't hear you.
Sorry about that. I sent her the public link and asked her to come that way and I could promote her, but she hasn't shown up as an attendee.
Okay. We will do our best. And if anyone can text her. Oh, actually, Joel's not here. Joel was telling us that she couldn't get in. Now Joel's gone. So, okay. Are we still at quorum here?
Yes.
Okay, great. I guess we'll just keep going until they can come. We feel so small. Stephanie, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just had one other comment. During the public is allowed to speak in a public forum before the meetings. What I would suggest is having one of the high school students maybe come to that and just talk about an exciting project that they're working on, maybe with some pictures of the display. That's always a way to get the council excited.
That's a great idea.
Great. Thank you. Any other questions or thoughts? We have a lot and not a lot of time. So, here comes Joel. Joel's back on. So we're going to move right back into the things we're working on. And we're going to start with the Golden Connections and where we are. So there's some very exciting things about to happen from what I understand. Dave will be coming, I think, in a couple of days to actually start working on that site. And the site has been being prepped for his setting comments and so forth. On sort of the planning logistics side. I'm going to share my screen really quick. This is something I just worked on. Let me see if I can find it. I'm trying to think of what I did. I think it's here. But I'll just do this. Let's see. Oh, here it is. So I am not sure if I should release something like a PR. I'm not a PR person. So I wrote this up and I sent it to you all this morning and I just welcome any comments you might have. So I don't need to dwell on this, but I did make a press release and then I will somehow figure out how to get it out. So just, I wanted to put that, plug that with you all. If you have any additions to the press release, which you did receive a link in your email this morning, please let me know. I don't really feel like I need to talk about it right now unless you have questions or comments. Aaron, I saw your hand.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I can obviously help facilitate it going on the city webpage, hopefully social media as well, and I can inquire about getting it in the newspaper, but I'm not going to be able to guarantee that one right now.
Sounds good. So I wrote that. That's the one thing that is kind of pending, and we have time to get that out. Let me go back to my stuff and let me unshare. So the next things are, I'm working on just sort of reception stuff, and I did think through having Chinese food, though I've been advised not to do that. So I'm kind of taking a different route. I looked into getting some chocolate specially made, too expensive. So now I'm thinking of small cupcakes, fruit, and something salty with fizzy water. So unless you have objections, that's my route. And I'll work with Aaron to see what I should pay for and what we think we can cover, and we'll take care of that. Ken.
If you need donations, call on us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And a great, great press release.
Thank you. Next thing, working on some finishing touches for speakers. One person decided that they didn't want to speak, and that's perfectly great. We still have a great lineup, and that's fine. Thank you so much to Laura and Stanley for a beautiful invitation. I don't believe I've shared it with anyone. I'll surprise you when it comes out. So that is in, I think, the printing stages, and I will pick those up from Laura and Stanley and Art Authority, and I'll get them mailed and out to everyone. Yes.
Yeah, it's all ready to print, and I just need a quantity. What quantity?
Well, I think that I gave you a quantity. Oh. I guessed like 60. Guessing. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
And what that means is I may have some wiggle room, or I might not, and we all might not get them. It just depends. Because the artist sends me a few names, and so I'm thinking 60 is reasonable. I don't think we need to send any more than that. And so we're going to have our invitation, and then if you could give me that digital rendering, that would be great. And then that will go out as another blast. So we're working on that. I've collected a list of addresses. Let's see. And I think that is it as far as just planning the celebration. There are a few other things that have come up that I want us as a group to discuss. One is, and I think it's wonderful, that Annie Stallman mentioned that we should have the medallions there. What a brilliant idea. And there's, just in case you didn't know that, Andy suggested that we have them there, and I think it's great. The logistics of getting there. It sounds like we do have some support from Public Works or Parks to help facilitate this. They're heavy and they're fragile. So I want to make sure they're moved respectfully and carefully. So that's my one concern. And then the other thing I think we should discuss briefly is how and where they should be. Stanley.
Yeah. One thing I think is a great idea that Andy came up with, and I really hope we can make this happen. The one thing that occurred to me is how we're going to display them. I mean, I think the best thing would be to have them upright somehow. I don't know if we need to build a little stand for each of them. I think if we did need to do that, it would be a fairly simple carpentry exercise. I don't think it would be really great to just have them lying flat on the ground. If we can have them up, that would be good. And so if we decide that's the way to go, my son has carpentry skills, and I could rope him into building little stands for them for basically nothing. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Aaron.
So I had sort of expected that they would either be laid on the ground or maybe just sitting on a 2x4 so that they aren't directly on the concrete. If they were just raised up by the height of a 2x4, would that be acceptable to you? Or were you thinking something more involved than that?
I was thinking up like at a 45 degree angle so they could be visible, looking straight on rather than hovering over them.
I agree with Peter Finkel's comment in this. Why are we not maybe just placing them on like long table, like a couple of long sort of banquet style tables?
Because they weigh 60 pounds each.
Yeah. How much do they weigh?
They're probably about 60 pounds each. I'd say, roughly.
They're heavy.
There could be those, you know, those small foldable tables. Could get a few of those and put them separately on those. They should be able to hold 60 pounds, I imagine.
I kind of wondered that. Maybe we ought to ask Public Works to experiment. I think a long banquet style table with 3 medallions max. I don't see how that would be too heavy. And then, so we would have obviously need 2 of those tables. Instead of, you know, making something, which is a great idea, but I'm totally welcome if someone wishes to do that, welcome to have that be the case. Other thoughts?
I mean, if they are too heavy for those tables, we could instead just build a brace for the center of the table instead of, yeah, like building pedestals for all of them.
Ken, I saw your hand up.
Well, so simplistically, on the ground, a 2x4 on one side and maybe a 2x6 or even an 8. And if they were laid on those, that would be very simple. Anyway, you all have, Aaron, you have the wherewithal to do all those.
Yeah, I worry about if they're just tilted on a 2x4 and somehow they fall on someone's toe or...
Oh, it'd have to be, right, someplace.
Or fall and chip, or so, we have some logistics here. And we don't, you know, even though we do have time, we don't have time. So we need to make some decisions. And yeah, Aaron?
Why don't I bring this up with Mike Morrison and see what he has to say? I mean, one of my questions is what labor availability we have on a Saturday without triggering overtime is one of the thoughts that I have, right? So why don't I start that conversation and I come back to you, Jennifer, and we'll go from there. And we'll have to discuss it in the meantime because the next meeting is going to push really close to the event itself. So we may not be able to deal with all of the details of this as a body.
Sounds good. If anyone has any brilliant ideas or wishes to fully take this on, that's great. It sounds like talking with the city who actually is going to do it is important. Any other comments? Yes, Stanley.
The simplest thing is tables. I think that would totally work. We probably need 2 of them. And I think 3 medallions could sit on one of those Costco collapsible tables. I think that would be a really good solution. We could put a piece of fabric over them so it looks better, and I think that would work.
Right. So have tablecloths, banquet style tables, and we want 2 for medallions and 1 for like food beverage table. So would the city have 3 of those tables?
I'm going to find out. I mean, I know that he made the PA system. Mike offered the PA system to us. We haven't talked about how it gets there. I assume we have tables. Again, I can't speak to staffing availability on that day. I'm going to need to coordinate with Mike.
Sounds good.
You might also ask Parks. They probably have some.
Stanley.
I have 1.
Stanley. I can't hear you.
You're muted.
What's the weight of each medallion, to remind me?
I would be guessing, but I would say between 50 and 60 pounds each.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Sounds like we got a plan, at least somewhat. I think we'll talk a little bit more about the medallions in a minute, but let's talk about the plaque. Just to kind of catch everyone up that hasn't been here, we approved or were given approval to do a plaque. There was concern about being able to read it on the ground. Once again, thank you to Stanley and Laura for creating sort of a few different mock-ups that I picked up from them and passed on to Joel. So Joel, do you have a report for us or thoughts related to
this? I do, yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I was at the shop yesterday to check in on that. Everything's ready to go, and they can do it in a pretty quick timeline. They can't give me an exact quote. They're guessing around like $800. The reason they can't give me an exact quote is because of the map at the bottom. It sounds like because of those issues with where the medallions and other things might go, it might trigger some whatever city kind of construction. So we're not exactly sure where things go. So we either need to scrap the map or do a blank map on the sign and then later go in somehow and add in the locations. So I was at the shop yesterday talking to them and they're like ready to go. But I was like, I got to check with people if we're going to scrap the map or not. So we did get a really nice map. Ken facilitated that from someone Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce Baird.
Okay, Bruce, and the map looks great. It's a nice, clean map. I put it on there. Sorry, I didn't email that out, but I did show the shop, and sounds like something they can do. It's replaced the previous map that we had on there. And, yeah, it looks good, but if we don't know the locations, then it's going to be just a blank map on there. There are things we could do afterwards to put it on there, but in the elements – it's gonna wear off eventually, probably. Like automotive paint or something like that. We could do red dots where everything is. But anyway, that's where it stands right now.
Okay. I'm all for having either a pause until we have a map or removing the map. That would be my thought there. Number two, did you decide or did you as a committee go and look at the size and the font and what did you?
We did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the three of us in the subcommittee, we all met down there and we looked at it. And yeah, the middle one really seems to work the best. The really big version that we had planned on is unnecessarily large. So the one we chose measures 20 inches by 30 inches. And that one is really nice size. It's super legible. Not overwhelming. And yeah, it looks nice. So that was the one that I brought to the shop, and I've amended the file size, the PDF that I provided the shop to work with is those dimensions. So the concrete pedestal would be that or slightly larger in terms of coordinating with, I assume, Parks and Rec or whoever, maintenance, whoever's gonna work. Public Works, whoever's going to be doing the concrete pedestal. So it would be that size or offset by like maybe an inch. Yeah. So.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. So I'm surprised to hear concrete pedestal as what this was going to be mounted to. I thought we were talking more of like a marble headstone, or are you just expecting crudely formed concrete that this is going to bolt to?
Hopefully not crude, like sidewalk level concrete, yeah, where it's formed and then that bolts to it. Exactly. You put in epoxy anchors directly into that and just bolt the sign to the front of that. So marble would be expensive.
We need to get a quote for that concrete work. We can't assume that that's going to be done by Parks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that was part of it. What was the other option? The marble option?
Well, the rendering that we saw the other day, I was in my mind's eye, but I had thought it was going to be something like you would see as a headstone, like a nice piece of granite or something. But maybe I just misunderstood the intent. But if it's going to be nicely formed concrete and attached to that, we, the pack, need to expect that we're sourcing who's doing that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I was under the impression that that was a union thing that what we weren't allowed to do. But I can, yeah, we can take that on and find out who can do that part of it.
The other thing I'd like to add to the discussion with the map, because it's something that Andy brought up, is, and this is probably a larger discussion, maybe more than we have time for now, was whether that map should be made for two to think about the larger city and the future phases of this process, or whether it's just the narrow scope. And I would leave that to you, Jennifer, if you guys wanted to discuss that further now or later.
So the things that I'm hearing. I'm hearing approximately $800 for a 20 by 30, correct?
Yep.
I want to review this. So 20 by 30 font size that has verbiage related to this sculpture and maps for the railroad district. And we're now considering, will it be on a concrete or on a rock? Both of those are not included in the $800. So that's something to consider. I'm happy to talk. Actually, I'm happy to talk about including other maps on this, but I don't think we have room, to be quite honest. So I'm having a hard time even considering enlarging this. This is specifically for the railroad district for the railroad medallions, and I hesitate to. We have no idea even what else to put on it as far as a map. So, Stanley.
Yeah, I think I will echo Andy's concern that we at least mention future projects. The problem is we haven't budgeted for future projects yet. You know, I think everybody hopes we do, but if we chisel that verbiage into stone, so to speak, in that first map, and then then the other projects either are delayed or don't happen, then we're going to look a little silly. I think that the main thing is, I think we were going to discuss whether to scrap the map completely or have the map. I mean, I think that's the basic thing we need to talk about. I like the idea of the map, but I also think the verbiage needs to refer to the medallion somehow. And I don't have the verbiage in front of me right now, but it needs to make sense when you're standing there reading the plaque.
Before I answer that, or maybe before Joel perhaps shares the screen of the verbiage, again, just to remind us, maybe we should do that. Ken, you had a comment.
Couple comments. One, I think that in my head, and I thought we discussed this, we would, for future projects, they would include their own signage showing whatever, if it was medallions or other pieces that are attached to them that show the steps to the marking Ashland Places piece. So this should be independent, but it might set the standard for what we do going forward. And that would be my hope. Right. If it's required, I'd make a motion that we move for the funding of the sign itself, the plaque itself. And then as a second motion, that we consider the cement as the monument holder, I mean, as the plaque holder. So the first motion would be that we pay for it. Aaron, yeah. You're muted.
I was waiting for Jennifer to recognize me.
Oh, sorry.
I'm looking at you.
It's okay. I would suggest that, well, first of all, I have a pretty good idea what's going on with finances now that was driven by a conversation about installation. It was my expectation that I was going to draft a memo once we had a full price for this sign to the city manager, and at that time, that memo will also address the additional funds that you guys discussed wanting to provide to the artist. So what we really need to do is get a number that is at least somewhat accurate for this sign so that I can start that process. So that's how I would put that to the group.
Right. So what we need is the price of the actual pedestal plus the price of the sign to then have the motion and go, well, maybe go forward from there. So I think once again, we're sort of in this limbo. And maybe while we're in limbo, the map will be solved. Since that's kind of happening, I'm not sure. So it sounds like we're still in limbo. We need to have a quote of the pedestal. Sounds like we do have a quote for the sign.
Yeah, it's a rough quote. I can't get a quote until we decide what to do with the map. So if anything changes on the face of the sign, it voids out any quote that they give me, because materials are very volatile right now. So it's going to be stainless, which is expensive. And they got to powder coat the base, which is underneath it, to make the letters legible. So it's black underneath. And so, yeah, the sign or the map on it, it's either we do the map and then later put in the locations once those get confirmed, because it sounds like those might change based on some stuff that's going on with the locations they've previously been approved for. And then we add those locations to the map later, or we scrap the map. So I think we should just decide on that right now so that we can move forward. Otherwise, we will sit in limbo. And either option is fine. I don't think it's going to be rocket science to figure out how to add those locations on later if we just have a blank map on there. It just won't. It might be a touch-up of paint every, I don't know, 5 years or something. Just little red dots or something. But that, if we don't decide on that, we're not going to be able to go forward, because I can't get a quote unless I say to them, this is what it's going to look like, end of story, quote that, and then move forward.
I get it. Aaron?
So I would just say, with regard to locations, we did have a meeting with Public Works and with Dale Soestrom. All of the locations are good at the end of the day. There was additional conversation, with the exception of the one at Second and A. Carl and Dale talked about that. They came up with a solution that I believe was shifting it slightly up into the park row there. I need to double check that. There was concerns about there being continuity then if that's in the park row. So there are going to be ongoing conversations about that. But the locations are generally fixed. We're talking about minutia of, is it going to be 4 feet that way or 5 feet that way? Mm-hmm. As far as marking them on the sign, if this is a stainless steel piece of metal, wouldn't adding additional marks be as simple as drilling a future hole?
No, because it's backed by something that you can't drill through.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder, can you share your screen, Joel, and show us the most recent iteration?
No, I'm on an iPad right now. My work computer has got work stuff on it. But let me see. I can email it to you if you can pull it up.
Sure.
I'm on an iPad. I can't shift my work stuff right now. Let's see if I have it here.
Ken, I saw your hand while I'm
and Stanley also. I was going to make a motion that we approve the sign up to $1,250. And if that would be helpful, then you could go get the price and we'd have it authorized and it would start, so we aren't in this limbo, because we're going to come back next week and the prices will have changed.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
So we need to put a pin on the map, so to speak.
Stanley, I understand you.
I just to be clear, our goal is to have this installed by the ceremony, right?
That's a dream. I don't know if that's real.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I have always gone into this knowing that that might not happen.
Well, I think it should happen. And, you know, I like Ken's idea of doing a somewhat high estimate. We always can return money and, put an approval forward for a certain amount that we're pretty sure is going to cover everything. And then if we end up spending less, that's good as well.
Does that what you're suggesting, that 1200, I think you said, would that include the pedestal?
No. I think you got to get a price for the cement, and I believe it's going to be more. Thought occurs to me, if we could get the sign made and we put the medallions on tables, we could also put the pl- plaque on tables if we can't install it. But 1250 was the number I moved for the signage.
I see. So perhaps even just having the sign, the plaque made, and if that's enough for the
start.
Great idea.
That is a great idea. I'm not seeing it.
Oh, is there a second?
Well, can you?
I second that. Jennifer, I just sent you the sign and Aaron, so whoever can pull it up.
See it yet? Are you seeing it, Aaron?
I'm sorry.
Do you see an email yet from Joel? I got it.
Got it?
Let me share the screen. So I think it's important we look at this before we go forward. So everyone can see my screen?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to read it. Golden Connections by Jennifer Correo and David Fry. Golden Connection represents a transformative period in Ashland's history when the city was chosen by the Southern Pacific Railroad to be the main stop between Portland and San Francisco. The golden spike in this sculpture symbolizes the final connection for Southern Pacific's complete rail service around the nation in 1887. This connection fostered growth, prosperity, and cultural connections in Ashland that remain impactful to this day. Golden Connections is also an offering of gratitude and acknowledgement to these workers who faced discrimination in very difficult conditions while building these tracks. The sculpture's placement in Ashland's railroad district serves as a historic marker and a wayfinding point to provide a connection from Ashland's history to its landscape today. In addition to Golden Connections, one can discover five medallions inlaid in the railroad district that commemorate historic sites. See map. So there's the map. And from what I understand here, looking at this, there isn't anything on it, correct, Joel?
Nothing on it, no.
And you're suggesting something would be placed on it.
I mean, if Aaron's saying that the locations are only moving four or so feet, then I say we could just put them on there.
Are those little numbers? I can't see it on my screen. Are those little numbers where those locations are?
No, this map was just to get it scaled for the shop. That's directly pulled from Bruce, which he used for a magazine article or something.
But it doesn't. So,
sorry. I can edit all that. We can do numbers. We can do red dot or not red dots if we drill it in. But we can do anything we want. That's just to scale it out and to show the shop what we're talking about.
Aaron.
Yeah, I would just point out that we aren't seeing Railroad Park here. I mean, I am seeing A Street and A and First, but if this was used as a test to show all the locations, it's not at the appropriate zoom level.
I don't know where the locations are. This was just to show the shop what would exist there and if they could cut it out. So it's not accurate at all. We could add to it. The other map was way too high fidelity and had it was from like the water department or something. So this was just to show the shop to get a ballpark quote for this meeting. So it can change, but I wasn't sure if we need a map or not. So,
all right. I would want definitely a marker for the sculpture with perhaps a "you are here" and then perhaps a red star at where medallions would be located. I mean, that's kind of just in my thought. So these are my understandings. If there isn't much movement, perhaps a map can be finished with those things. Maybe Aaron can say, yes, this is about where they're going to be. And I think we're good. That's my thought. Any other thoughts?
So the concern is some of the original locations might move up to 5 to 6 feet. Is that correct?
Well, my bigger concern is that this is clearly not final because you can't see Railroad Park in it, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of evaluating scale, the zoom level is going to have to be further out. So if this was used in terms of, can I read First Street? Can I read Second Street? This will be at a further back zoom because I can just tell from the road layout that we are not seeing Railroad Park.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. So somebody needs to create a final map. Who is going to do that?
So once again, we're to the A. Do we scrap the map? Can someone create a map? I don't feel comfortable. Well, I'm happy to fund this sign, but I'm not comfortable in letting the sign be made without seeing a final draft. I'll just say that.
Right.
So we're still in this conundrum. We need to either scrap the map or we need to see a more better iteration of the map. And I understand now that this map is going to be pretty hard to read. I'm not sure. Any other thoughts? I'm not hearing all voices, so I want to make sure everyone's getting their thoughts here. I think I saw, I'm going to unshare now so I can see you. Ken.
I'd like to authorize Joel and Aaron to complete the details of the map and move forward with the printing of the sign. I don't believe it requires a committee of the whole to figure out where the dots go and whether you can read it. If they say it's complete and legible, I think we could go forward. It seems to me it's an iterative process. If we come back at our next meeting and have the same discussion, then we're blowing the... anyway, give it to Aaron and Joel to figure out the map. And you could, and they could run it by you, Jennifer, if you like.
Stanley.
I'd like to move that we include the map on the plaque.
I think Andy also wants to speak.
Wait, Jennifer, there's still, Ken had moved to approve $1,250 for the expense and Joel had seconded it and we didn't ever finish that.
Right, we're discussing.
All right. Okay, let's go back to that motion then.
Andy has a comment.
Okay, I'll take Andy's comment next if you would like to have Andy talk.
Andy, if you go ahead and unmute, you can talk.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I just, you know, obviously, if you refer to the specific five medallions in the plaque, I'm perceiving that as being that the project in Railroad Park is finished and that the additional seven sites that we had considered to continue with the MAP project won't happen. By casting that in a sign, you're basically putting the final bookmark on that district. Is that correct?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
The original plan for Railroad District in marking Ashland Places included 12 spoke sites. We just got started. We only were able to complete five as a pilot program. So there's an additional seven sites that were part of the plan. So if you go ahead and have a sign made that's referring to the five sites, in essence, you're closing the project for a railroad district. And I just was wondering if that was what your intent was.
Stanley.
Yeah, I don't think that's the intent, but you raise a really good point. To me, that argues for not having the map on the sign at all.
No, and hence my email saying if you refer specifically to those five medallions,
right.
In essence, you're kind of boxing yourself in to limit the expansion. So, Stanley, as you know, what we had talked about a long time ago was trying to include Leah Richards in the GIS story map feature as a way to direct the visitors to the different medallions. And that, of course, would be a dynamic thing, not static. So I just caution you on that. I just would hate to see a finite end to this project when those five medallions were just the opening phase. That's all I mean.
That argues for having something like a QR code or some sort of electronic connection.
Because exactly.
That's open-ended. We can, as, if it changes, it changes. But we're not chiseling it into stone, as so to speak.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Ken. I was thinking. Oh.
No, Laura. Go ahead.
How complicated would producing a QR code be if we don't really have anything for it to go to quite yet? Or maybe we do, I'm not sure, so that we can get that engraved and not have to scrap that because we couldn't add it later. I think that's a fantastic idea. Then it's moving, it's evolving, it can be updated.
I think we do have a place for it to go. Don't we have, Aaron, isn't there somewhere that describes this project already up?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it's online or not. I mean, as you recall, the history of this project, I believe when it was first presented to council, it may go back as far as 2014. Yeah. It was a long time ago. And then after it was approved by council, it took quite a long time until it actually gained traction and moved forward. My history here only starts in 2019, which is when we were working on the design of the five. But yes, somewhere I do have a historical document that has the original vision. Like Andy just said, there were as many as 12 spoke sites proposed. When this request originally went to council, PAC basically came forward and said, here's three different options. You can give us permission to do all four districts with all of these sites. Here's a more medium plan where we do all four districts with just a couple of sites each. And then the smallest option would be just hitting one district and just doing a limited number of locations. And council basically said, we'll approve you to do this limited pilot project of five locations. And instead of doing it in downtown, why don't you do it in Railroad District? And so that was the direction that came from council. And of course, since then, the PAC has entirely changed over. There has been general interest, it sounds like, moving it forward, but we really are to the point where some of that historical knowledge of the original vision, you know, is no longer here.
So I think that a QR code would be a good option because it's open-ended, and I think it's correct. We need to have that QR code linked to something. But that could change that link, the content in that place where it goes could change dynamically. We would have to change the verbiage on the plaque to refer to that QR code, but we'd have the QR code instead of the map. There would be no map, is the way I'm understanding that might work.
Ken?
I'd like to modify the motion. Can I do that?
Which motion are you speaking of?
The motion to pay for it. So my idea is that the motion be for Andy and Joel to create the QR code in place of the map, and we authorize up to $1,250 for the creation of the sign or the plaque in order to have it for the installation next and lay it next to the medallions on the tables, and then we can work our way through to putting it in the ground. And then coincidentally for Aaron, I never knew there were the 12 spokes as Andy refers to it. So could we get that as a document for the future? Because that the reason why we thought we were doing five is because that's what was approved by the council. And if it's open-ended, we need to adjust our thinking. So if it's appropriate, I'd like to make the motion that we delegate to Andy and Joel the creation of a QR code for the map language and authorize up to $1,250 for the creation of the sign.
Well,
just 1 second. Look at the chat. Peter just sent a message. Stanley, didn't the city staff tell the map subcommittee that we could not use QR codes on the medallions? I think the issue there was readability on the bronze. I think a stainless steel, if it's on stainless steel, it would absolutely be scannable.
So thank you. Let's pause for a minute on your motion. And because first off, Andy is happily retired grandpa and may not want to be a part of this motion. Secondly, Aaron, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I first of all, in terms of having this sign complete by April 23rd is frankly not going to happen. I'll be lucky if I have the money appropriated for it in that time. Because, I mean, first of all, this is the first time we've had to address a request for public art money since we have the new form of government, okay? In theory, this should be something that's handled at the city manager's office through my boss's boss. But we haven't done it before. And there's a difference between what's budgeted and what's actually appropriated. So it's not just a matter of this body making a motion and expecting that I can go make that sign happen, because I still have to make the ask. And while I'm hoping that can happen at the city manager's office, I'm not certain. And when you look at the 4 weeks that we have between now and the installation, I just would like to caution this group that I think based on where we are, it's unlikely that we would have it in time for that date.
Right. And I'm also just I want to say that we've been to the Historic Commission. I just went there in January and was excited to go on this new sculpture and to invite them to continue this discussion to the next hub location, which would be downtown. And they said they would get back to me. So as far as like commitment in the future, it sounds like we're hopefully going to have things happen. And so that's that. It sounds to me, I'm hearing a few things. I'm understanding the last sentence line is now problematic. So we have to change this verbiage or vote on this verbiage. We also have to decide on a map or find out if QR codes are allowed. So it sounds to me like this map is going back to another form of discussion. Although we've had so much discussion, I don't feel comfortable pushing it forward until everyone agrees on what it should be. And I thought we were there, but we're not. So I know that there's a motion on the table, and I will now welcome if there is, if you'd like to reiterate the motion, and then if there's a second, we can move forward. I'm now, I'll wait and hear what you think. And Andy, if you would like to chime in, you are wrapped into this motion, so it's a little awkward.
So the present motion that's on the floor, as I have it recorded, is a motion to approve $1,250 for the sign exclusive of the base.
Okay, so we're just back to the funding motion. All right. And I think Stanley seconded that motion. However, then there was an addendum to that motion made by Ken, correct?
Yeah, but I don't think it ever got a second.
Okay.
And that is to add the QR code. Is that correct? And Aaron, is that what do you have? Is this?
I never. If you'd like to give me an amended motion, please go ahead and do it now, because I'm not sure I have it captured.
Is it helpful to add, including a QR code on the sign? That would be the amendment.
Stanley.
Yeah, I think that given the input from both Andy and Peter, I think we need to answer those questions. If you look at the chat, Andy says QR codes don't work. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure whether he was referring to they don't work on bronze, and I think I would agree with that. On stainless steel, I think they would. But then Peter's comment that the city says we can't use them. I think before we approve this,
that is an inaccurate statement. Staff never said that they would be prohibited from use. The discussion was among the medallions and how they would render in bronze.
Okay.
But there was never direction from staff that couldn't be used.
Okay. So.
So I reiterate the amendment.
Yeah. And I'll maintain my second on that.
And so how is this reading?
What I have captured now is that Ken motioned, seconded by Stanley, to approve up to $12.50 for the sign exclusive of the base that would include a QR code in lieu of a map.
Is the verbiage staying as is, or is the verbiage changing?
No, it'll have to change, but I don't see that necessarily being part of this motion.
Okay.
Clarification then, though, Andy's comment about how QR codes won't work, that was in reference to bronze, then, not how it will work on the stainless steel.
Yes, I believe
so. Correct. Okay.
I'll have them, when we finally have a final design, I'll have them prototype a small cutout of the QR code before we pull the trigger on the whole thing, to make absolutely sure that the QR code would work. But I am almost 100% sure that it'll be water jet cut, which is super, super precise. It will definitely be legible, but I'll make sure before we go for the whole thing.
Andy, would you like to speak? Aaron, would you like to promote Andy?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So on Jennifer Andrews' blog on the on Masterworks plaques, they do more than just bronze. They do the stainless steel. And if you look on the blog, and it may be somewhere else on the website as well, they caution you about using QR codes. They say they're not readable. And I think to assume that it's just limited to bronze without doing a little more research would be a mistake. I can't speak to the fact on whether it would read on stainless steel or not, but Stanley and Peter, we were all deeply involved in the discussion when we were trying to figure out the QR codes for the bronze. And Jennifer Andrews came back to us and said, guys, that's just a bad idea. They're not readable and they fill up with debris and dirt and hinder the readability of that code. So I think that would definitely translate into some other material besides just bronze.
Mm-hmm. Andy, for that clarification.
Yeah, I think that it's coming back to me, and I do remember that. I also remember that we considered alternatives of just putting a URL there, or even a bit.ly, which is a very short URL.
Well, Stanley, and there was another idea that we had about putting a small placeholder, just a blank square, and having perhaps plastic stickers made that we realized might need to be replaced from, you know, every so often years. But by having a flat printed black and white QR code that could be attached to that plaque was a possibility we had considered.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we have a motion on the floor, and the motion is to approve 1,200.
50.
Pay for the plaque with the removal of a map and the inclusion of a QR code. There's been a second. I would like to just take it to a vote. All those in favor of moving forward with the QR code, raise your hands in the square. I see 2-4. All those against? Are you four?
No, I'm four.
3-4. And then I see 2 against. Against? I guess I should ask you to raise your hands. And Joel?
I don't know. I mean, it sounds like it need to be prototyped. So I guess I'm for it. Yeah, I think it could happen. So for it.
I'm for, with the understanding that there will be a prototype or test, like Joel described.
Okay. So I see that there are four of you who are for it, with the exception that you'd like to see a prototype, one against. I'm abstaining. And so I think that it passes.
I got 4-1 without an abstention.
Right. So doesn't it pass?
4-2, because it's my understanding
that
abstention is a no.
I just was off of my math. Okay. So to be clear, regardless of the vote of this body, that money is not available until a PO has been cut. So there is no moving forward with actually doing this until I handle the administrative side of that.
Right. Understood.
And also to be clear, there is problem in the verbiage now. So the verbiage will need to be corrected. And I will that to the committee to decide on the change of the verbiage as to perhaps what is decided, whether it's a map, not a map, whether a QR code works. We have so many other things to talk about. Are there any other questions or comments?
I see Andy's hand.
Is that hand new, Andy?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay, so let's move on. We have other things, and I think we'll probably miss most of them. But I think we should get, per Andy's email and also per discussions of ADA compliance, I just want to have a clarity on where our medallions are. Is someone typing that might be able to mute themselves? That's all right. And actually, Aaron, we're going to probably hear from you right now anyway. Where are we with the medallions being installed? If you all noticed, Andy sent you an email showing ways that medallions could be installed without them going in the ground. I don't know where we are, and so I kind of defer to Aaron to give us that report.
Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, you know, there's been some staff changeover from when this project was initially envisioned to present. So there was a person in engineering who initially had reviewed it, said, yep, no problem in the sidewalks. As we were getting the process moving forward to get quotes on installation, the person who is now in that role, it's a different engineer, had different concerns about the viability of them being in the public right of way at all. I had a couple of meetings with Public Works, including looping in the person who originally made the permission, who is now the director of the department. And so that alleviated a lot of the concerns of them being in the walkway. The concern then had to do with the reconstruction of A Street and certain places where there's conflicts with ADA. Now, my understanding of the result of that last meeting on site was that Dale agreed to an alternative location at A and 2nd, where it would be located on a piece of concrete in the park row. What that means is that it will now be the odd man out, that all of the others will actually be in the walkway, the actual sidewalk walkway. I believe in that email that Andy sent recently that was copied to a bunch of people, he brought up that concern of continuity for installation. And so as far as where Public Works is at, they're moving forward with getting a quotation for installation. This body probably ought to discuss that continuity issue, understanding that, you know, what does that look like? There's going to be one medallion that's in the park row instead. And that led to conversation at the end of the meeting. Well, what if the others could all be in the park row and be the same? And unfortunately, sites like Hoskins Garage doesn't lend itself to it. Neither does the other site along A Street between 4th and Railroad Park, because there is no park row there. So you know, I guess I would bring it back to this body to say, is that concern for you? And I feel that, you know, we also need to make sure that we are being appropriate in looping in stakeholders from earlier parts of this project, including Dale Sostrom and any other interested party in historic. He seems to be the only one who from historic who's still actively involved. But I think any input from both Dale and Andy it would be important to be received. So that's where it's at this moment.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments, Ken?
Could you explain what you mean by the alternative installation? I don't know what that means.
Well, so the original idea is that all of these would be in the part of the sidewalk where one walks.
Yes.
Because of the future reconstruction and grades on site at the intersection of A and the second, there's going to be substantial reconstruction at some time in the future. And the concern of having to try to remove one of these and then reinstall it was what the issue was. And so the alternatives that were discussed at that meeting was to put it in the sidewalk along 2nd Street, just a little bit up from A, or to put it in the park row between the sidewalk and the curb on 2nd Street near the intersection of A. My understanding is that was where Dale said, well, that makes the most sense. And so, and again, in a follow-up email that Andy sent, he brought up the concern, and it was one that was discussed on site, was, well, now you have this one that's not in the walking surface. And then there was this discussion about, you know, how they could be mounted otherwise. And I believe in Andy's email, he included a photo where one was mounted higher up and at an angle. And so, you know, the question I think for this body is, does that lack of continuity cause concerns?
I'm looking for the email. I had it marked until I lost it. Anyone have a comment? Please chime in.
Yes, I think the lack of continuity is of concern. You know, I think if it gets installed and later it has to be reinstalled, I'm pretty sure that could happen. I mean, it's not, I mean, once it's set, I'm sure you can remove it and reinstall it.
These are pictures from Andy's email about a suggestion from Jennifer Andrews' studio of a way of installing differently.
Yeah.
As a temporary marker. So I just wanted to show those to you really quickly before we moved on. And so now I'm going to stop to share. Other thoughts?
Isn't it simplest to just move it up in the sidewalk on 2nd Street? I don't think there's anything magic about a few yards difference. Why not maintain that continuity?
Aaron?
I would want Dale to be a part of that conversation. He had a reason why he felt that was better. I can't speak on his behalf. Okay. I can query him and bring that answer back to the group. But long story short, suffice to say, they're not going to be in the ground before the hub unveiling.
So maybe we need to ask Dale how he feels. If everyone... I guess I should just sort of do a general ask. Is anyone strongly against maybe moving it a few feet? And if everyone's not against that, then maybe we ask Dale how he feels. And Andy, if you wish to chime in, you're here. I welcome your comments as well.
Thanks, Jennifer. My concern was not a continuity concern. It was merely if the sidewalks were going to be replaced in the next 2-3 years, whatever, just hold off, use something temporary like what I showed from Masterworks as just a way that they could be seen and temporarily installed. And then when the sidewalks were permanently poured, then they're added. And the height of that diagonal installation was way higher than I think would look good. It was just it was just an idea. I did not think through all five spots. And Aaron, you're absolutely right. Haskins Garage wouldn't have a spot where those could be mounted at an angle. The continuity issue, as I said, if it's a temporary thing until they find their permanent home, I don't see the continuity as a problem, but that's for you guys to decide.
We have 3 minutes. Any other thoughts? Should we ask Dale's opinion and maybe circle back?
I would like to know what Dale's concern is, moving it a few yards one way or the other.
Okay. So why don't we have you ask that, Aaron, get his opinion. Any other strong opinions about this? Okay. I think that we'll get his opinion, and if it's something that is able to move fast, or if we need to get everyone's opinion, I guess we can try to figure that out. Any other questions? We have, let's see, I think at this point we have a few things we didn't get to, and that was talking about the survey, talking about our first Fridays that are happening in May, and giving you an update on the possible AHS student working. All of those actually have to be tabled, I think, because we technically need to leave in 10 minutes. Ken.
I'm wondering if, since I made the report to you two, Andy and Jennifer, that could be forwarded and people could look at it for comment.
So what Ken's talking about, since we do have 2 minutes, he was going to make a report about the first Friday plan. I'll have Ken resend that to me, and then I will forward it all up to you for your meeting, since that's coming up to me. That would be great. Any questions, comments, needs? I know that was a hard one. I was busy. It was good. It's all great stuff. Sorry we didn't make it through the agenda. All right.
Compliments to Jennifer for a productive meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Yep. I appreciate it. And Stanley, I'm going to be passing the meeting to you next time.
I know that.
You'll be fine. You'll be great. I'll give okay. you. And okay, I think we're done because I think we need to be done. My apologies for that. Thank you so much for being here and for being thoughtful and working hard. We've had a lot of stuff on our plate, and I really appreciate all of you very much.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jennifer.